And welcome back, footy fans, to another episode of Donnie's Disposals. I am your host, Coach Donnie Hess, here back with another AFL round review. Round two has come. It has gone. We got to talk about it. Plenty to talk about. So let's welcome my co-host for today, the Aussie in Canada, the man, the myth, the legend that is Mick Aussie. Mick, great to see you, sir.
Yeah, great to be on again, and always keen to wear the Ottawa Swans jersey because I know you're a Sydney Swans fan, and aren't they going along very nicely?
Oh, they are humming. They are humming along very early in the season, but they're definitely making a very happy man out of me, especially considering it was my birthday this last week. So, awesome. I tweaked the Swans game win as a kind of a light birthday present for myself. So, absolutely love it. So, before we jump into the nuts and bolts breakdown of it, just your initial thoughts of round two. Some very interesting things, some controversies, some discussions, and plenty of topics to talk about, including the grand finalists from last year, both being 0-for with 0 wins under their belts.
Well, as you know, I go on that New York TV show Sports Grid doing tips and bets because the host loves his betting Friday night watching the games. And it started off with the two dogs winning, that being the Saints and the Geelong Cats. So I'm like, oh, this could be a crazy round with upsets because it happens, doesn't it? Every now and then you'll get a week with tons of upsets. And I actually thought I picked all the winners after that, but I thought the underdog might get close. So I took all the winners to win, but the other teams to cover. And I think the Bombers were the only team to cover just. So all the teams absolutely won by quite a bit. So recovered from a 0-2 start, luckily.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting round. Tons of things to discuss. So let's jump right into it. First, we have to do it. Thursday night footy sees what many people might consider an upset as the Saint kill the Saints, knock off the Pies 94-79. And the biggest question is it a hangover, or have people finally figured out the Magpie system?
Oh, I'm going to say it's absolutely a hangover. I'm going to agree with the legend Lee Matthews when he said they partied and celebrated too long. They all went together and watched their documentary the week before the first round, all still loving it, and I love it. I'm not a Collingwood hater. No, I'm not. I've loved the style of play they've played the last couple of years, and I worked with Craig McRae's dad when he just went to the Brisbane Lions as a young fella. His dad's a terrific fella. Listen to Craig on the Howie Games podcast recently. Great coach. But yes, they party too much. Hangover, absolutely. And it's only a small percentage difference, you know, because the game's so quick, right?
Yeah, 100% agree. I really look at this and I go, there's just something off. I agree with what all the footy shows have said. There's just something not right. And I don't like that they're going, well, the one miss in the defensive end is the reason. No, I think it's more than that. I honestly agree with, it's a lack of hunger. Like, you're seeing things in the Collingwood game that you have not seen in the previous two seasons. You see guys giving a high five as the ball is zooming down the far wing in that game against the Sydney Swans. It's lack of efforts from midfielders and halfbacks and center halfbacks when it comes to pressure. So it's like, it almost kind of like, the hunger is gone, and I keep hearing Coach McRae saying, we're on our systems, we're on our systems, we're doing this, we're doing our process. I'm like, buddy, you can put lipstick on a pig, bud, but it ain't gonna make him a beauty queen. Like, that's just the simple truth. This team has lost its hunger, and I don't know if he really knows how to handle it. It's all been smooth sailing so far. It really has. Coach Craig McRae. Fly has had it just an absolutely beautiful run in his first two seasons with Collingwood, but this season is becoming very rocky and it's starting to show. His press conferences are getting snippier and snippier, and I worry for a lot of people in Collingwood. If they somehow find a way to drop this one up in Brisbane this week, things could get very rocky at Victoria Park in Collingwood there. So I don't want to pile on. I also got to give it Jack Higgins goal. One of the goals of the year this year, was it out of bounds or not? I really don't want to go into it because camera angles can be quite misleading. But What a goal. Absolutely fantastic. The Saints love seeing Ross embrace new style of footy. Their run game is ridiculous. Will the injury to Liam Henry hurt them a little bit? That'll be fascinating. But this was a marvelous game. I like I said, I am not a Collingwood hater as well. I enjoy their style of footy, but seeing them come back to earth a little bit is very interesting to see. How does Coach Craig and the rest of this squad respond not only this week, but going further in the year? We'll jump over to the Adelaide Oval, where the Cats get a huge win on the road at the Adelaide Oval, 96-77. And sir, I will hand it over to you as the diehard Crow supporter that you are. How frustrating is this loss, considering the Crows last year were incredible at home?
Oh, mate, I want to be mostly positive tonight, but not on the Crows. I am a Crows fan since their inception. I saw them win their first premiership. I have not been a fan of Matthew Nicks, I'll be honest. And I'm worried that some of these guys that have played 50 to 100 games, I'm worried that they're just going to stay a little bit better and not be the players that they think they will be. Very disappointing. Their own ballers were just bombing it into the forward lines. Tommy Hawkins, him at full forward, he just ragdolled their young defenders. He did what he wanted. And of course, everyone's talking about Tommy Stewart just taking mark after mark. And they had three players pull out, two or three pull out just before the game, including Duncan. So Crows, very, very disappointing. And I want to talk about their so-called eight leadership group. What a load of Cleveland Browns in my pants that is.
Yeah, I was. I you are not the only one. I know. I listened to the Rush Hour, and several of the people were like, it might be just the tiniest bit too big. I'm more disappointed because everybody knows Tom Stewart is an incredible intercept defender, yet they still bombed it in and bombed it in and bombed it in every single time. There was no giving Tex Walker, who unfortunately I think came into this game underdone. Fogarty didn't have it. I think it was McHenry came in. It kind of gave him a spark, but it just, again, this it's another one of those, a lot like the Gold Coast game. They just had no spark until the fourth quarter, and it was almost like, oh no, we don't want to lose this. Now we're going to play. And as a Crow support, as Crow supporters, I agree with him. It's like, where was this in the first three quarters? I think that's the more frustrating thing, because this team has some talent, but there's a ton of questions now in Adelaide, and I'll be fascinating to see how this week will go, because they have to get a win with their schedule moving forward. We jump back over to Marvel Stadium as the Freo Dockers continue a nice little run of form to start this season as they knock off the hapless North Melbourne Roos 102-76. I'll ask you this, sir. Are we going to be a little bit disappointed if Clarko doesn't find a way to get a few wins early in this season with North, or is this just going to be a lot of growing pains until Clarko can really get these guys as a cohesive unit at North Melbourne?
Oh, I could give two craps, mate. They've been terrible for years. I'm not a real fan of Clarkson. He's all right, but he changed the game to being defensive when he won those premierships at Hawks. Of course he's smart. He outsmarts the AFL bosses. Yeah, they got some good young players. They got no one decent in defense. But they got off to that great start, didn't they? They were up by a shitload, and then the Dockers just come back and absolutely beat them easily in the end by 26 points. Crows are in trouble this week over there in Fremantle. I like Fremantle this year. Caleb Sarong, absolute star. Brayshaw, of course. Nate Fyfe is looking good again, although he's got a bit of a sore back. And of course, Jackson is a star, the big fella.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when Darcy comes back how they respond to that. But agree. I mean, Caleb Sarong has been fantastic. Brayshaw saw himself on the wing this week, which was interesting, but then he eventually kind of went inside. So again, Fremantle, I've been pleasantly surprised. Can the Roos figure something out? It'll be fascinating to see. Unfortunately, the next game doesn't get much easier as Hawthorn lays an absolute egg at home on the MCG as the Melbourne Demons beat them 93-38. Is it really sad that one of the best parts of this entire game is a Christian Petrarca smother in the goal and him celebrating like an absolute Muppet? I'll tip my cap to him. It's a great effort. But it was just kind of, it made me chuckle a little bit how big a deal that they made it. But again, the D's just too good. Bailey Fritch, fantastic. Ben Brown finally kind of finding some form. The D's do take a couple of hits with Lever and May both going down with injury.
Yeah, well, Stephen May, that is a big one. And you know what? He's not my favorite player. He's probably one of my least favorite players in the whole AFL. He just appears to be too arrogant to me. Terrific player, though. Lever, well, he might be out, they reckon, with his knee, probably. So that, well, we'll talk later, but that gives Port Adelaide a huge advantage. Hawks, very disappointing. Got some injuries, but I think the Hawks might finish second to bottom, actually. Sicily, though. Gotta love Sicily, eh? What a captain. He's a bit crazy, but he's a great player, that guy.
Yeah, tough as nails. Just I think he needs to pull his head in just the littlest bit. I mean, as a captain, I don't want you getting suspended. I think it's one of those absolutely grit and determination. But sometimes he loses. He has brain fades in the game that a little bit frustrates me. But this is one of those D's just too good, and the Hawks could not capitalize in both Lever and May being out in the second half, which is kind of a little disappointing. For me, we moved to a scintillating game on Saturday night that had some niggle, it had some mongrel, it had a little bit of everything in this, as the Swans beat Essendon in an absolute shootout, 131 to 101, a 30-point win by the Swans. And I don't want to talk about the incident until a little bit later, so let's kind of stay into the game a little bit. The Essendon, I'm going to ask you this as an old-time footy fan. Is this the Essendon edge that you want Essendon to have, or was this a little bit of false bravado by the Bombers?
Oh, no, you got to admire the coach for telling him to go extra hard. But then, well, the guy did screw up, didn't he? But we'll talk later. Oh, Bombers, they've been disappointing for so long. I do like their new coach, but I just think they'll be probably 10th to 14th. I don't think they'll make the 8th. You get a few injuries in a team like the Bombers and they'll drop away. I'm a fan of Parrish. He might be back this week. But yeah, just talking your Swans, mate, they just star-studded with their young kids. And then you got the good players that come back in Mills and so forth. So you guys are looking really good. And Isaac Heaney might have three best on grounds already. So I tipped your Swans to actually make the grand final. I tipped them second. Man, they might go all the way this year, and I wouldn't complain if they did.
It'd be fascinating. It's interesting that most New South Wales teams have started off really well. Yeah. And I agree with you. Parker Mills and Adams all still to potentially come back into this team. In fact, I even agree. I'm not sure if Adams walks into this team. I think Adams may have to play in the VFL and earn his spot potentially, which is kind of crazy to think as experienced a veteran as he is. But we'll discuss the event that everybody's talking about a little bit later. So don't think we're not going to talk about it because I'm a Swans fan. We will discuss this. I'm looking forward to that particular conversation. We jump to Ballarat as the Doggies kind of show what we thought they could potentially be, or was this a little bit of the Suns being a little bit of fool's gold a little bit with their two wins early in the season, as the Doggies get a 48-point win, 115-67. Cody Waitman goes bunta, kicks six goals, including four in the first half. And I have to say this, it was absolute theater to watch Libertore and Raul go one-on-one this entire game.
Oh, Rao, he's a beauty. Libertore, I mean, I remember his dad too. He was tough as anything. And glad Waitman's wearing tight jocks and not letting it hang out these days. But he kicked six goals. But nine goals in the first quarter sure was a good toss to win. Game was all over. You know, I nearly picked the Suns, eh? But I stuck with the Dogs, and I'm glad I did because they did win by a lot. I hope the Suns do well and do make the 8, but disappointing away from home. Ballarat is in a dip. It's cold and windy, so they just obviously didn't adjust to being on the road.
Well, and Jared Witz isn't there either. Jared Witz is one of the top five ruckmen in the entire competition. And I saw a statistic that Jared Witz has not played in, like, it's either four or five games in his total career, and all five Gold Coast have lost. They have not won if Jared Witz has not been on the court. I did hear about that injury before I tipped. I tipped the Doggies because I worried going to Ballarat. Western Bulldogs usually play Ballarat really, really well. So that was one of those I got right. But I'm interested again. It's like The doggies, they're a fascinating team because there's still holes in this team, but they can be on their day quite dangerous. So they'll be fascinating. They're one I'm going to keep an eye on. Both of those teams are teams that I really am going to keep an eye on as the year goes on. We jump back to the MCG is Port Adelaide, the evil Port Adelaide for my co-host here. It's a 30-point win, 122-92 over the Tigers. And again, I got to tip my cap. Travis Boak, 350. Congratulations to you, sir. That is absolutely magnificent to see that. How much longer he'll go will be the question mark. The Tigers and Adam Uzé, are there questions whether this is a Tigers team that may have to kind of, shall we say, use the R word, rebuild, even though they brought in Taranto and Hopper last season?
Well, I could care less because these are two of the three teams that I dislike the most. But that said, I actually watched the full game for some reason. I watched this one and the Crows and Cats. I watched all of it. Power got off to a rough start. Tigers were up at half time, and then Power just got moving. Their on ballers are obviously very good. Rosie and Butters, Horn Francis out again with a hamstring. He's an absolute beauty. But who cares? Power will finish in the top four, but then they'll bomb out again in the finals, hopefully.
It'll be interesting. Port's another one that I'm almost worried that they went a little too heavy defensively, and are they going to be able to handle teams with quicker forward lines? It'll be fascinating to see how they go. So, and then we'll round up the last one, which, I mean, if you just look at the score, this was relatively uneventful. But I have to say this, I got to say this. Harley Reid showed some flashes of why he was the number one overall with a couple of fantastic plays. I think he's going to work his way into this system. Again, I think the Eagles are going to have a lot of pain this season. I hope they get a game or two just so then we don't have a wooden spooner with no wins. But the Giants, again, just too good with a 65-point win. And the Giants and the Swans at the top of the table, both 3-0 after technically three rounds of footy.
Oh man, what a mess the Eagles are since winning the flag in what was it, 18? They have just screwed up so bad. They cried when they were up in the Gold Coast in the COVID confines. They didn't like that. They kept their old players way too long. Their old players are injured all the time. So many soft tissue injuries. What's going on over there? I know the ground is harder over there in Perth, so don't get as much rain, but the injuries, soft tissue is terrible. Jack Darling's been very average. They're thinking of dropping him. Gaff's playing in the waffle. So they are a long way. I'm going to call it. They are a long way from being competitive. I think they are. Very bad team. And the Giants, yes, wouldn't it be great? We'll talk about later. Giants, very impressive. Absolutely they are.
Yeah, I said it last week and I'll say it again. I think the 2018 Grand Final and the Eagles brass thought they were going to be more, and then 2020 started their downfall. And they are kind of they are the masters of their own demise. And I hate saying that. I don't wish that upon any club, but they are the masters of their own demise. The reason that they are at where they at is because of the list management, not the coaching. The list management has been woeful. But I don't want to pile on the West Coast Eagles for two straight episodes. So we will jump to my burning questions. I want there's some things that I have to discuss with you, Mick, because I really want to know what you think on this. We will jump to probably the one that in about 48 hours, about 24 hours from when this podcast comes out. Thursday night footy sees 0-3 Collingwood Magpies, 0-2 Brisbane Lions. Is it safe to say, in your opinion, Mick, that the loser of this game probably will not make finals?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I'd say they probably won't finish top four, but no way. You can still get on a run, absolutely, and make the top eight. But I think the Magpies might go 0-4, but the Lions haven't been going that well either. So interesting game, isn't it?
Yeah, very intriguing. The GABA has been a fortress. The Blues kind of knocked them back a little bit, and then the woeful performance against the it really is. I'm sitting here looking at my tips, going, I really don't know how to tip because I want to tip Brisbane because they're at home, the Pies do travel well, and I think it might almost be better to get out of Melbourne for this next game. So it'll be fascinating. I'm going to be eyes all over that game on Thursday night. That's one is going to be fun. The next one has a little bit of me in it just because I got to hear, I want to hear this. For me, is it good for footy that both New South Wales teams are playing so well early this season?
I was about to grab my crow's hat. Of course it is. I'm South Australia. I'd love to see an all Sydney or a Crows and Sydney grand final. I don't want to see any. That'd be great. No Melbourne teams in the grand final. Absolutely it is. I would laugh my head off if those two teams made the grand final. I'd love it actually.
It would, as I've heard so many times, it would do the head in of so many in the Victorian media. I think it's great. I think it's absolutely fantastic that both the New South Wales teams are playing well, especially the Giants. I just really hope that they can capitalize on how good this team is. It's going to be fascinating. I think the Sydney Derbies this year are going to be absolutely magnificent. They could be grand final previews. We could have three this year, which would be absolutely outstanding. So I want to get to the heavy discussion on this one, and that is the Peter Wright incident. Everybody wants to talk about it. I've heard everything extreme one side, everything extreme other. For you, as somebody that played the game, and for somebody that's been watching the game for years, the Peter Wright incident, was it the right call to suspend him for four games, or do you have doubts that this is opening a Pandora's box for the game of footy?
In the current state that we're in, as in the previous suspensions, this year, yes, absolutely. Three or four games. That's the way it is, whether you like it or don't. That's the way it is. He had a choice and he still cleaned the guy up. And it's harder for a big fella to move. I know that, but you gotta be smart. Now the guy coming back into the pack. They got to be careful too, and they not to be suspended, but they got to be told, listen, you can't be doing that as much either. So yes, suspension, absolutely. I could talk for ages about the lawsuits and all that. We won't do that, but no, in this current environment, yes, he was should be suspended.
And I'm kind of one of those, and I agree with a couple of the arguments, and it was plain and simply, if he contests the footy, if he goes for a spoil, if he goes for a mark instead of tucking and defending himself, I don't think anything happens. I don't think he's suspended. Even if Cunningham gets knocked out in a spoil, even if he gets knocked out in him contesting the footy, or him jumping up and putting his knee up like he's going to take a Specky mark to defend himself, almost a little bit like what Marby Ochoa did on May, he doesn't get suspended. Like I understand everybody says split second decision. Yes, but these players and these athletes are trained to where split second decisions are something that they do constantly. And unfortunately, I saw this on one of the shows. This isn't the first time that Peter Wright has protected himself and knocked somebody out doing the same exact thing, tucking his right shoulder in and coming in. And then I've heard this from a few Essendon supporters. And again, I understand the passion. Thankfully, I love that you guys have that. But you also got to be prepared. It's like, well, he's got a dodgy shoulder. Then why is he playing? If he's got a dodgy shoulder, why is he on the team? Because he's a liability. So like, he's gonna get hurt. Do you see Peter Wright and do you see Cunningham? There's about a 50 keg difference there. There's about
Yeah.
6 inch difference there. Peter Wright, if he's so worried about getting hurt by Cunningham, that's more of a mentality thing more than it is. Like if he goes through it, I don't think either of them really get hurt. I think Peter Wright maybe gets the wind knocked out of him. Maybe. Like I don't think it was that bad. I think it looks worse because Wright tucks the shoulder and catches Cunningham right on the chin. It's one of the he had his eyes on the ball. He did until about half a second to about a second before the ball gets there, and then he puts his eyes down and then he protects. It's a lot like the Maynard thing. Everybody says he doesn't have enough time. Well, he has enough time to take his arms from above his head to into his chest, where in the same amount of time he probably could bring his arms down and put them out in front of him. So,
Of course, you're dead
like,
right.
These are athletes that make decisions with a handball in the same amount of time. So you can't tell me they don't have enough time to react. So
Dead right.
again,
Dead right, Donnie.
it's a good suspension. It's not a great suspension. I feel bad for Peter Wright because I know he's not a dirty player. I know it was not a dirty incident. For any of the Swans fans that say it, please stop saying it. It is not true. It was not a dirty act. That was never Peter Wright's intention. It's just one of those. He made the wrong decision when it came to how he was going to go into the contest. Instead of going for the footy, he bailed. He bailed. The bigger guy bailed out of the contest. Do I agree that we need to start putting a little bit of probably don't want to go back with the footy type of thing? Yes, but it's kind of ingrained in footy with the courage that I think it's going to continue to happen because until it kind of gets coached out of players, it's going to continue to happen. So again, we're trying to defend these guys. Unless you're going to make these guys sign a waiver at the start of every single career and say, hey, if I get concussed multiple times, I cannot sue the AFL because I know the things. That's where it's going, because that's the reason they're doing this, is because of the 1970s and 1980s players that are suing, because at that time, the AFL, if they did, they weren't telling anybody about the problems with concussion and CTE. So I understand everything that's happening. Again, Bombers fans, I love you guys to death. I love your passion. I think the niggle, I think the niggle between the two teams was fun to watch. I have to ask you, Travis Cloak, the runner, how funny was that to see him kind of try to break up the melee and still get it and still get a please explain from the AFL?
He needs to keep away from that, absolutely. But just real quick on this concussion thing, I don't want to go too deep, but in the NFL, we know that the NFL bosses were hiding the truth. But I don't see that in the AFL. I'm not going to protect the AFL because they're a massive, rich organization, but I don't fully understand where the players are coming from on this lawsuit, because the AFL didn't know back then about CTE. And sure, we had, you know, you had things that you had to do. Most people would miss a week, any country football everywhere. So I don't really know how the AFL is liable in this case, but whatever, it's going to court. Some players are legitimate, got reasons. Some people are just after the money. We know.
Yeah, unfortunately. So again, like I said, all respect to Bombers fans. Again, I do not take it personally. I have tried to be as respectful online. I think there's Muppets on both sides. There's Muppets on both sides, both the Sydney and Essendon side, and on all of this. In fact, the Wayne Carey, the duck, coming in and saying he's not ever going to watch football if he gets suspended. My plain and simple, hey duck, bye. Oh yeah, I forgot. You get paid to write articles for a newspaper, so you just lied to us. Bye duck. Sorry. I'm sorry. He really got on my goad, because a lot of times when he was on shows, he stated the obvious. I'm like, I understand you're a great player, but that doesn't make you a great analyst or that you know anything of what you're talking about. He was very obnoxious. So for me, it's kind of one of those, bye duck. I'm sorry. I don't miss you. So
I listen to his podcast. I do listen to his podcast. I actually like him as an analyst. And he screwed up. You know, he got cocaine up his nose and got caught. So he's had a few too many strikes. But amazingly, he's getting a lot of guest gigs. So he's still doing all right.
Yeah. People pay for the name more than anything. So we will backtrack out of that. We will move on to, as we kind of said, I want to let you have a little bit of a soapbox, because I know this question has come up. I know we're only three games into, or two rounds or three games, depending on who you are. Did the Crows sign Matty Nix too early? I know this is going to be a fun one for you. So here's your soapbox, sir. Have at it.
Absolutely, they did. Especially when they might be 0-5 if they lose to the Dockers. Then they got Demons in Adelaide. Then they got Carlton in Melbourne. Imagine that, if they're 0-5. Absolutely, they signed him too early. Now, this is why I'm also dirty on Matthew Nix. What a load of crap this is. Eight players in their leadership group. Way too many. Let me go through them. Some of them aren't even in my starting 18. Dawson, absolutely. Very good. Keys, very good. Good player. I like him. O'Brien, he's a battler. Does he do much? He's a battler. Murphy, Murphy's played 100 games. He wouldn't even be in my top 22. Fogarty, are you kidding me? Fogarty should be dropped. He didn't grab the marks when they were there and that goal he missed, and he thinks he's great. Sure, you've got to persist with these young forwards. Fogarty's probably played, what, 50, 60 games. I remember one good one. Malera, average player, not too bad. Hinge, good young kid. Smith, 250 games. So you got half of this eight leadership group. Someone wouldn't even have in a team. How can you do that? That is absolutely the biggest load of Cleveland Browns in my pants ever. Eight leadership group, and some of them aren't even in my top 18 or 22. And Ned McHenry, he better play him this week. Ned McHenry should be in that starting 18. He's a goer, and his disposal is quite good as well. How in the hell is he not in the starting 18? Knicks needs to smarten up and pick his best players and forget Chase Jones. What's he played? 70, 80 games? He's average. He was apparently a champion in Tasmania as a junior. Another average player. So I'm worried that these Crows players have played 50 to 80 games are only ever going to be like that. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. Thank God we got Dawson and the little Rankin because they're skillful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. I'm gonna hold it for a little bit just because again I that is my worry that they go 0-5, but again Port Adelaide started 0-5 and then had that run again. I know, sorry, wrong team, shouldn't say that, evil Donnie, but it is possible. And I agree with you. It's a little bit like Brisbane. It's like if you get on the right run, who knows what's gonna happen. I'm interested to see, does Dan Curtin come in? Like does he really shake things up at selection this week, knowing that this is a huge one against Fremantle coming up? So, and then we will end the burning questions with what game in round three, besides the Crows, that you're going to sit down and have your popcorn for, because some interesting ones on the slate for this round.
Yeah, well, obviously the first game, Collingwood in Brisbane, should be a ripper. Lions have actually favoured by 16.5. That's quite a bit. I'll take the Magpies to cover that. I'll take the Lions to win. And the Demons in Adelaide could be interesting. That would have been a lot closer, but with May out and probably Lever, well, that gives the big forwards at Port Adelaide a real chance to win that one. Crows at Dockers could be a close one. I think I'll take the Dockers to win that, but I hope I'm wrong. And, yeah, Cats should destroy Hawks. Your boys should win over the Tigers as well.
Well, and there's one you didn't talk about that's got me fascinated, and that's Essendon versus St. Kilda. I think that one could be quite the interesting one at Marvel Stadium. That might be one I'm going to keep an eye on. Can the Saints keep it going? And how does Essendon bounce back with no Peter Wright? I'll be fascinated on that one. So let's jump to it. My team of the week that I do every week, we're going to try to do this relatively quickly because I want to be sure that we have plenty of times for tips. I know Mick has given us a couple of his tips already, but we still have to tip. So we will go there. So my team of the week will start on the defensive side of the footy at the fullback line. We talked about him a little bit earlier, James Sicily of the Hawthorn Hawks, Essendon's Andrew McGraw, and Fremantle's Jared Clark. On the halfback line sees Geelong's Tom Stewart, Port Adelaide's Dan Houston, and GWS's Lockie Whitfield. In the midfield on the wings sees Errol Goulden of the Sydney Swans and Andrew Brayshaw of the Fremantle Dockers. A majority of his possessions were out there. That's why he's on the wing instead of in the center. In the center sees Sydney's Chad Warner, the Western Bulldogs' Marcus Bontempelli, and GWS's Josh Kelly. In the ruck sees Fremantle's Luke Jackson. On the half-forward line sees Sydney's Tom Papley, Port Adelaide's Todd Marshall, and St. Kilda's Jack Higgins. At the full-forward line sees Tommy Hawkins of the Geelong Cats, the Western Bulldogs' Cody Waitman, and Melbourne's Bailey Fritch. On the bench, I think I wrote something down wrong. Sees the Adelaide Crows, Riley O'Brien. I thought he had a relatively good game in the ruck for him. Norse, Tom Powell in the midfield. Richmond's Liam Baker. And I got to double check my notes because I have Tom Stewart both as the bench player and the starter. So let me double check my notes and grab it really quickly here. Oh, North Melbourne's Harry Sheezel was the last one. I totally, when I was writing it down on my phone for my notes to get ready for this, I forgot Harry Sheezel. So North Melbourne's Harry Sheezel is the bench defender. So really quickly, I know that's a lot of names really quickly. Your thoughts of team of the week?
Oh, very good. Tommy Papley, he's a beauty, isn't he? He's mouthing off, but I enjoy that because a lot of these AFL players are too scared to say anything. I'm not sure. Did you have Isaac Heaney in there? That might be one you've missed, but other than that, I'm
He's
pretty good.
it's one of those where there were so many, there were actually several with two goals from the midfields, because everybody that was the center mid, Tom Powell, Chad Warner, Josh Kelly, Bontempelli, all had two goals. Heaney only had one. So I kind of used that as a little bit of a stepping stone, a little bit to help out a little bit. This one's Heaney was so close. Heaney was so close. He's been so close in every single one of them. I know. Was it last week? Last week I had both Warner and Heaney in the middle because they were both fantastic. So it's been one of those where the Heaney, I think honestly, I would not be surprised if he's got 9 Brownlow votes after 3 games. It will not shock me a bit. Chad Warner may have taken 3 off of him in the previous game, but I think if it's not 3-3-3, it's 3-2-3, because that's how good Isaac Heaney's been, which has been fantastic to see that young man play so much better. So let's get to it. We will do the tips.
I'm really impressed what you did with that team of the week. That's unique, that's different. And another player I like to say, I'd love him on the Adelaide Crows, Shai Bolton. He played well for Tigers as well.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He played majority forward, and I think he only kicked 2 goals where it was like there was 6-5-4-4. So most of the guys that got on had kicked just a little bit more, but he was right there. If he had had a little more midfield time, I might have slipped him into the center mids, and he may have given Tom Powell a run for his money. But it's a decipher. Everybody's is different.
No, it's
I
good.
know,
Very good.
and I hate the ones like Tommy Mitchell was one of those burned me a couple of times the first years because I do disposals, but he'd do 41 and he'd do absolutely nothing with those 41. Like 20 would be backwards handballs, so his meters gained would be like 250. I'm like, you have 43 touches and you get 250 meters gained. What are you doing wrong? Like I don't mean to be me, but it's like, so I started looking into a few more of the different stats and things like that, and it's been a lot of fun. I've had some people absolutely rip me, which is fine. I as long as we can have a good discussion, that's great. It's when you tell me I'm a flog and I don't know what the heck I'm talking about, then I either block you or I ignore you. But if you come with a nice solid reason or good solid facts to back you up, I will take it into the effect, put it in my metrics, and I will add it. I am more than willing to have a discussion. But it's when you come with you're a flog or you're an idiot, you don't know what you're talking about, then you kind of turn me off of whether I'm actually going to listen to you. Bye. So, so let's go to it. We'll do our tips. I know we're a little bit before selections. I know the injury list just came out today, but we'll join to it Thursday night footy at the Gabba, Brisbane Lions, Collingwood Magpies. Who do you like in this one?
First of all, I can tell you've been listening to Australian radio with the word flog, and to all the Americans listening, it's similar to what they call Ted Lasso over there in that show. So, yeah, common great name, a flogger. No, yeah, I'd like the Lions to win, but I think the Port Adelaide, what I'm losing it. Magpies, I've got the Collingwood Magpies, I think, might cover the 16 and a half. So, I hope the Lions win and get to 1-2.
I think Brizzy wins this because I think the style the Brizzy can play through the middle, getting the turnovers. They showed a little bit of the blueprint of how to beat Collingwood last year when Collingwood was going red hot. I think Brisbane fires back. I still don't think Craig McRae has gotten his guys to kind of focus yet. So I'm going to tip Brizzy in this one, but I still think this is under. I think this is around 2 goals. I think this is an absolute nail biter for most of it. Jump down to Marvel Stadium as we see North Melbourne host Carlton coming off the bye. Do the Blues nip a rusty Carlton, or does Carlton absolutely go bunta on this Roos team?
Oh, look, the Blues should win this, and good to see Harry Mackay kicking straight because I did diss him a fair bit. Blues are favoured by 33 and a half. I have a bit of a guess at the spread, and I guess 25. So, Blues to win quite comfortably. Hopefully, the Roos can play more than a half like they did last week. Wow, they only kicked 2 goals in the last half, I believe, or kicked 1 goal 5 in the last 15 minutes, or something crazy like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna tip the Blues, but this is one of those a rusty Blues outfit that's been off for a week. Could the Roos jump the Blues quickly and maybe put a little bit of fear into the Blues, that it'll be fun, fascinating to see. I think Blues too talented, too good. They win this one, but I think the Ruse put a little bit of a scare into them early because of the rust of having a bye week. So we'll jump out Optus Stadium in Perth. Your head versus your heart tip on this one. Fremantle v the Adelaide Crows. I'm going to tip the Dockers in this one. Again, the Crows, for some weird reason, their game doesn't always travel away from the Adelaide Oval. Fremantle playing well. Luke Jackson, I think, could be a matchup nightmare for Riley O'Brien. Sarong's playing well. Brayshaw's playing well. They're finally starting to kick goals along with play very defensively. I think this may be a bad matchup at this time for the Crowies, so I think the Dockers win this one.
Yeah, Crows are bad on the road. I mean, we got within a few points of Collingwood at the MCG last year, but other than that, we were pretty bad on the road. Dockers are favoured by 12 and a half, so that's two goals. I think the Crows might get within that, but it will be very interesting to see how the Crows respond. Tex Walker's the key. It's a big field over there. So if Tex Walker gets some space and kicks quite a few goals, Crows can win. I'll take the Dockers just, and I hope I'm wrong.
It'll be a good one. I hope the Crowies pull up to the top of the stadium and give a challenge. I really want to see that. So back to Marvel Stadium, and I think it's an intriguing game between the Essendon Bombers and St. Kilda Saints. Who do you like in this one?
Well, the Saints are favoured by 8.5. I think they'll win that and win that quite well, actually. Max King's out with a suspension, as we know. Darcy Parrish might be back in for the Bombers after a hamstring injury. He's a great player. Saints to win and cover the 8.5.
This is one of those I look at and I can almost see an upset special because it's kind of the perfect storm. Max King is out injured. Who's gonna take the forward? Who's gonna take that full forward spot? Does Tim Membry shift over? Do we see something on that? Can Essendon figure out defensively so then they're not getting scored out the back, because Higgins and Butler will absolutely have a field day with that one. I'm gonna tip the Saints, but this is my keep an eye on upset. Don't be shocked if the Dons find a way to nip St. Kilda on this one. So tipping the Saints, but I think the Dons will be close on this one. An absolute cracker over at the Adelaide Oval as Port Adelaide hosts the Melbourne Demons. I'm going to tip the D's in this one. I think the D's are starting to find their way. I think Max Gawn is starting to kind of find his groove a little bit. I think Ben Brown's ascension has been great for them. It's let Keziah Pickett and Bailey Fritch come open. And I think Port Adelaide's defense gets a little bit exposed for being a little bit too tall and not so agile in this game. I like the D's in this one, even on the road.
Interesting, your comments on the Port Adelaide defense. Yeah, you might be right. It hasn't been that good. They obviously added a couple of players there. Horne Francis is still out with a hamstring, so that's 2 weeks in a row they'll miss him. Now, will the big body mids in Petrarca and Oliver be too much for the smaller Rosie and Butters? Will be interesting, absolutely. Power a 13.5 point favorite. Now, if May and Lever were playing, I'd be very tempted to pick the Demons, but because they're not, I think the Port Adelaide forwards will have a day. Big fella Charlie Dixon and Marshall playing his 100th. So I'll pick the Power just in that one.
Yeah, Lever's the only one that I think could be back. I think May there were some people saying May could be back. There's no way with two broken ribs and I highly doubt him. Lever could. There's still talk that he could, and if he's in, I think that does balance it a little bit. But I understand your point. No Lever, May. Usually that spells disaster for the D. So I like your tip. I even like your tip on that one. Marvel Stadium, Western Bulldogs v the West Coast Eagles. I mean, do I even have to ask? I think the Buggies win this one, and I think they put a nice little percentage on an Eagles team that just they're going to try to survive to that North Melbourne game and then hope they can find a way to steal one. So I got the Bulldoggies on this one.
Yeah, Doggies favoured by 47.5. They'll probably cover that. Jack McRae, something's going wrong there. He got a heap of touches in the VFL, so you see if
47, yeah.
he's back on. Rory Lobb kicked four goals in the VFL, but you can't have that many forwards, so he's probably still out. Doggies, yeah, they're one of the teams. Will they make the eight? They might not. So they're going to be an interesting follow this year, especially with some pressure on their premiership coach, Luke Beveridge.
Yep, be fun one. Now we go to the MCG as the Richmond Tigers host this and the red hot Sydney Swans on this one. Who do you like in this one?
Well, Swans are favoured by 19.5. Yeah, I think they'll win and probably win well, but you never know if they have a bit of a letdown, thinking they're better than they are. Cunningham's obviously out. The photographer Nathan Broad is back in after a calf injury. So if you've followed AFL since 2017, you'll understand my little dig at Nathan Broad there. So yeah, Swans to keep going, I think.
I think Swans this one, but again, the Tigers are good at home. The Swans actually play the MCG pretty relatively well. I know they had a few games where they kind of had horror runs, but I think their style of play and their kicking, I think, could have an absolute field day with this Richmond team that still has not really shown the ability to be solid defensively for an entire four quarters. So I think the Swans win this one, but that's going to be a fun one to watch. And the Easter Monday game sees the typical rivalry between the Hawks and the Cats. Do we see a Hawks miracle, or are the Cats just too good?
Cats way too good, I think. I saw them. I was very impressed with them last week. I actually picked them to come in the eight, where a lot didn't, but I picked the Blues to miss, so I might be in trouble there. Nah, Dangerfield's out with a hamstring. Atkins could be back in, and Tanner Bruin with a foot could be back in. They're favored by 19.5. I think they'll win by more than that.
A few too many out for me for the Hawks. I think the Cats are going to be able to absorb Dangerfield's loss this round. It's going to be against a few other teams. They may find a little bit of a struggle there. Cats just a little bit too good. Hawks a little bit too weakened by injury. I like the Cats in that one. So, well, Mick, that is it. There's two other teams that will have a bye with the Gold Coast Suns and GWS having a seat on their living room couches this particular round. Only eight games to discuss, but been fantastic. As always, Mick, great to be able to sit down and to talk footy with you. I know that you're always on Craig's show, and I really enjoy those conversations that you have. But you know, I love having you on, being able to talk footy with you. So how are things are going with you and everything on your side?
Yeah, doing good. Obviously, a bit of a lull time for me this time of year with just the AFL on because I'm big into the NFL, the Canadian football. Do a cricket show up here, Edmonton Cricket TV. So, preparing for that and looking forward to the gather round next week in Adelaide, my home city. Lots of events going on. There's all the Melbourne guys are going across. So, very impressed that Adelaide did a good job last year. And they'll do an even better job this year because we hate it. Melbourne stole the Grand Prix years ago, so we're going to show how great a job we do with this gather round, and hopefully we keep it for a long time.
That'll be very interesting. I know the Premier really wants to. We'll have to see what the AFL thinks on that one. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for another episode of Donny's Disposals. Keep an eye out. More State League and AFL coverage still to come this year. In fact, keep an eye out. The Sandful review of the first four rounds of the women's comp and a preview of the men's comp getting started this week is coming up very, very soon. Keep an eye out for that. That'll do it for another episode of Donnie's Disposals. We'll be back again with more footy to talk about very, very soon.